Good morning, and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm CJ Mitica, editor of Wearables Magazine, and actually, the outspoken editor is on their way to San Diego for the ASI show, but don't worry, we got a great crew here, and going to talk about promo products. First up, we have our man, Chris Ruvo, staff writer for Stitches and Wearables. So, Chris, have you ever been to San Diego?
No, I was hoping to go, but what are you going to do here in rainy Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, that's true. You haven't been west of the Mississippi, I believe, right? Or at least the first time was in Dallas?
Yeah, I got to Dallas finally this year, my first time west of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, finally you might be able to make it to California. I hear it's settled. The gold rush is over, so maybe you'll get a chance to go out there at some point in life.
Oh, man. I was looking forward to growing the beard and going there with my little pants, but what are you going to do?
And also we have Carrie Boderman, education manager. Carrie, have you been to San Diego?
No, I was in California when I was 2 or 3 years old, so I know I was there, but I don't remember it. Mm. Nope.
So, I mean, probably want to get back there at some point. That's a
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I'll be at the Power Summit in November, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, probably at least a little nicer to go during November when the weather's not as good, though. As I say that, of course, it's been rainy for the past week or so, and it's going to be rainy for the rest of the week, so better get out there this year at least, right?
Right, definitely.
Well, we got a great show for you today. Our call-in topic, we're going to be talking about solutions to your apparel challenges. So feel free to call in at 215-953-4979. If we put you on the air, you'll receive a $25 Visa gift card. So we got a great show today. Chris, why don't you run down the topics for us?
All right. Well, one of the things we're going to talk about, let me ask CJ, is your boss a jerk?
I don't know.
Don't answer. All right, well, if your boss is a jerk, we're going to give you some strategies for dealing with that. We're also going to talk about ways that you can build customer loyalty. We're going to talk about some green apps that are out there for your smartphone. And we're also going to talk about some fun things that happen with promotional products down in Tampa Bay. And we're going to also review a Super 8 promo.
Well, sounds good. So, if I'm correct now, we got Michelle online for the news. You there, Michelle?
Hey guys.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys doing? You sound great.
We're hanging in.
Thank you. We'll take the compliment if we can get it. So, why don't you give us the news, Michelle? The industry rundown in 60 seconds.
Absolutely. We begin this morning with distributor acquisition news. Top 40 distributor AIA Corporation has acquired Houston-based Flagship Promotional Services. The deal gives AIA increased presence in the Southwest market, which CEO David Woods said the company has coveted. Also, Woods told Counselor that the acquisition will add $10 to $12 million in annual revenue to AIA's totals. On to other industry news. First quarter results are in, and many suppliers are reporting very positive news. Broder Brothers says its sales increased more than 13% in the first 3 months of the year, while Gildan posted a record-breaking quarter, showing revenue increases of 17%. Further, Hanes brand had a sales increase of 12%, and Fossil increased revenues by 37% in the quarter. Apparel news now. Cotton prices are finally declining after a year-long run-up that saw material more than double in price. After reaching a high of $2.30 per pound in March, the price of cotton has steadily declined over the past 2 months, closing at $1.44 per pound on Friday. And finally, make sure to follow Counselor Promogram this week as we provide updates and videos from the ASI show in San Diego. Check it all out in special editions on Thursday and Friday.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Michelle. And I think interesting that, you know, all the news today was about apparel and the suppliers doing increase in the sales in cotton, because again, the call-in topic is about solutions to your apparel challenges. So if you want to call in, you got a question for us, feel free to call at 215-953-4979. And as Michelle mentioned, we're out at San Diego this week at the ASI show, and so we're gonna have a little preview here. And of course, some of the editors couldn't resist being away from the spotlight. Had to come on to the show, so we were gonna ask them a couple questions.
There's such publicity hands.
I know. So first we're gonna go to Joe Haley on line 4. Joe, how you doing?
I'm terrific, CJ. How are you?
Good. So, you know, out in San Diego, what are you expecting to see? What do you have your eye on as far as new products?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to let you know I did get my spray tan, so I'm going to look very nice in that.
Oh, nice.
California spot.
Finally, that pale, pasty Irish skin needed it.
That's right. Thank you for the sound effects there, Craig. What am I looking for? You know, lately it seems to be an influx of iPad accessories. And, you know, we know that electronic product is very popular right now. And because of that, suppliers, and smartly, are coming up with a variety of different products for it, including cases, wraps, skins. So I'm always interested to look out for what's hot, what's trendy, and what's current. The other thing, I mean, we're coming into the summer months here, and I'm interested to see, has anyone come up with anything different when it comes to barbecue products and beach products? I know when we were in New York, we saw a great surfboard-shaped towel, beach towel. So, you know, I'm interested and, you know, anxious to see, get out there on the show floor, see what else we got coming that's going to, you know, fit into those themes. And I'm always, always looking for something that's new, different, and unique. And you usually find them. I mean, every show you find, you know, a handful of things that you haven't seen. It's the first time they're out there. And what I like to do is trying to get myself in the mindset of the distributor. What are the applications for their clients? How can they sell it to their clients, and how can their clients use it? So, you know, I'll be all over that show floor looking for a lot of stuff. You know, it is May, so I don't know if we'll have a lot of new product rollouts. I expect to see a lot of new ones middle of the year in July in Chicago, but I got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I would add just that in California that there's you know, a lot of apparel manufacturers are there, so you tend to attract some of the more, I guess, retail-oriented ones. You see sort of different sort of style with apparel, so you probably will see some of that there on the show floor.
Yeah, well, you know, Nicole Rollander will be out there. She's our Stitches editor, and, you know, she always has her eye on the fashions as well. So while I'm trolling for other products, she usually is the one I'd let her go find the fashion accessories, find the new apparel. So she'll be reporting with video with new apparel.
Mm-hmm. And anything else out there, Joe, that you're hoping to do or see?
He's, you know, going surfing.
It's my first time in San Diego, so I'm just, you know, anxious to see what the weather is like out there. Everyone says it's so nice all the time, so it'll be nice to leave this rainy mess behind, as you said in your intro. It's like, you know, they're predicting for rainy weather all week. So.
And I would suggest that if you have a chance, the stadium is right nearby Petco Park, so even if the Padres don't have a game, you're allowed to actually walk through the back. There's like a public park, and you can see into the stadium from the outfield. So it's really neat. I would suggest, you know, taking a short walk if you find time to do that during the day.
Well, if I find time, I think I will do that. You know, we got a lot of great videos that we're going to be putting together for all our regular viewers and any new viewers who want to see what we're doing out there at the trade show. And of course, we've got the counselor banquet, which is going to be quite the event. And, you know, I think we're all excited about going.
Cool. Great. Well, have a good time there, Joe.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have fun, Joe.
See ya. All right, and next to talk about education, we have Melinda Lygos on line 5. Hey, Melinda, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing great, especially
great
now that Joe's not here.
Well, Gigi, I have to say I'm very surprised. When Chris asked you if your boss was a jerk, you didn't really have a response, and I heard your boss was fantastic.
Uh-huh. You mean Andy Cohen, right? So, Melinda.
Well, hey, I'm just getting ready to go out to San Diego. I'm going to fly out in a little bit. And I'm so excited, guys, because this is going to be an unprecedented week for education at San Diego. We have 11 brand-new speakers who've never spoken at the ASI shows before. We've got a social media track tomorrow on Education Day. It's going to be a couple hours long. It's going to be like a social media boot camp. So whether you have no experience with social media or, you know, you consider yourself pretty intermediate or advanced, it's going to take you from beginner all the way to some really advanced social media techniques, including some case studies of real distributors and suppliers who are making money and getting business through social media right now. So that's going to be fantastic.
Okay, and if I'm correct, there's another speed networking session. I think we had one in New York, and there's going to be another one in San Diego.
Yeah, that's correct. On the second show day, which is going to be on Friday, we're having the industry's biggest speed networking event. You're right that we did that in New York as well. In an hour, you're going to be guaranteed to meet at least 20 new contacts. If you're a supplier, you'll meet distributors and vice versa. And if you're shy, there's no need to be. We've got questions and things to help get the conversation going. Basically, you'll go from table to table and fill up your Rolodex with all kinds of great new contacts.
And Chris, didn't you fill in at New York as one of the speed networkers?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I was nervous going into it because I was roped in a bit last minute, but it turned out to be a fantastic event. I met a lot of great people. I got some great sources for stories, and I learned a lot about just concerns and issues that are out there. And really, in like the span of 40 minutes to an hour, it was awesome. I recommend taking part.
Cool, that's great. And if you got something out of it, I'm sure attendees will definitely
get exactly. If you can penetrate my brain, everybody will.
So, Melinda, I think Wayne Brady was there too. So, what are you expecting from him?
Well, we had him on the radio show a couple months ago, and he is hilarious. He's going to do. Do you remember he did a show where it was an all improv show?
Yeah, of course. Whose line is it anyway?
Exactly. He's going to do that kind of thing where people in the audience will actually participate and suggest topics and things, and it's going to be really interactive. He's going to be great. That is the night of the first show day. Then also for Education Day, we've got a lot of editors speaking along with, you know, 11 new professional speakers. I know Larry Bassinet and Andy Cohn are going to give a session on 10 really new, hot, emerging markets for distributors. One of them is renewable energy. It's kind of cool. One of them is the HR market. As the job market heats up, you know, a lot of HR people are using a lot more promotional products. Larry's going to have some brand-new stats about that. We recently surveyed HR reps and found out what kinds of things they're buying. That's going to be really exciting. And Dave Vagnoni, of course, is going to give a talk on the Ad Specialties Impression Study, the latest one that we completed, which really helps give distributors all kinds of selling tools to meet every possible client objection you can meet. And you guys should know this answer, but what is the average cost per impression of a promotional product? Any guesses?
Oh, you're putting us on the spot here.
Half a penny.
Half a penny from Carrie. Is that right, Melinda?
Pardon me?
Carrie said half a penny. Is that right?
Half a penny. Carrie wins the prize.
Someone's been paying attention in class.
Anyway, so there's a lot going on in Education Day. I'd encourage everyone to come out. And the coolest thing is, you know, we've got this brand new ASI certification program. To get your BASI, your Bachelor in Advertising Specialty Information, you need to take 5 live courses along with lots of online courses, which we have in our online learning center. But it's easy to do that at a show. And we've got a full slate of courses on Education Day and, of course, power sessions on the other 2 show days. So go there and take 5 live, and you'll be well on your way to being certified as getting your BASI.
Okay, Melinda, most important question, where are you guys going for dinner tonight?
You know, I know you're saying that because you're jealous. We're going to a place called The Strip Club. And,
now, I didn't know that kind of activity.
The corporate card
like
pays for that.
No, what it is, and CJ, I think you prepared my steak last year.
That's true.
It's an open-air restaurant with grills, and you get to pick out your steak or your seafood or whatever you want and grill it right there. And something that we're looking forward to for sure, and we'll miss you guys.
Yes,
we'll grill up a little filet in your honor.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, you could say the sentiment was the same.
Yeah, exactly. So have a good time out there in San Diego.
Thanks. We'll be updating you later. Take care.
All right, see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, now we're going to get to our call-in topic again, solutions to your apparel challenges. You have a question, call us at 215-953-4979. And we got Bob on line 1. Bob, what's your question?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
Listen, I got a client who's pushing me on a really, really low price on a T-shirt job. And it's not enough for me to make any profit on this. But she insists it has to be that price. So I'm really not sure what to do here.
You know, T-shirts are tough just because they're basically a commodity in terms of how they're priced. They're very low priced. And I think any client, you know, is really looking for a bargain basement thing because they feel like they can almost go anywhere to get the price they want. And that's tough for distributors because, you know, there's a screen printer down the street perhaps that will do it for basically no margin. So my advice is that, you know, you got to decide what's best for you. If you're not making any margin on it, not making any profit, and you feel this is either a client you could potentially lose or an order you could potentially lose, so be it. Let them shop it elsewhere. I think just has to be just like a line you have to draw, especially with T-shirts, just because of the way that they're priced.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think you have to look at the client to a degree, too. If the client gives you a lot of business otherwise and you're making a decent profit off them most of the time, then maybe on this one particular order you'll eat the margin. But generally, that's not a precedent that you want to establish, because once they get you to go low once, they're going to expect it again and again, and you'll be bargaining from a weakened position, which of course you never want to do. So you really want to kind of assess the client and see if it's worth it to continue doing business with them.
Cool. Sure. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Stay in the line for your Visa gift card.
All right, thanks.
All right. Now on line 2, we got Corinne. Corinne, what's your question?
Hey, good morning. My question is, some of my preferred suppliers have already raised their prices a few times, and I keep hearing that there's going to be more coming. Should I be holding the line on prices with my customers, or is it better to pass them along?
Well, actually, this is a topic that's pretty pressing right now. And in fact, I think, Chris, you just wrote an article about this for wearables for our upcoming June issue. So what?
Yeah, that's right. I talked to a whole bunch of distributors about how they're dealing with this very issue. And by and large, the sentiment that I got was they're passing along a lot of the cost, but eating some of the cost, which is resulting in reduced margins, but not margins that are so reduced that you're not making any profit at all. Because at the end of the day, you're in business to make money, and if your margins are being reduced to the point that you're making nothing, there's no point in making the sale in the first place. So you do have to pass along some of the cost. However, what you should be doing is communicating with your clients very clearly why the prices are going forward. People aren't living in a vacuum, so they probably have some idea about rising commodity prices and rising cotton prices, but you want to make sure that they're aware of that and say that this is not something that you are imposing. This is something that's being imposed on you that you have to deal with and unfortunately have to pass along.
Yeah, and I would say you have to sort of look at this long term. Even though, for example, the price of cotton may have reached a high a couple months ago and it's been dropping since, there's still a lot of other factors that are influencing the price in terms of, oil and labor issues overseas.
Polyester yarn is up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there was a cotton shortage. I think it's a little better now. So all those factors are going in and increasing the price. And apparel had been actually deflating for a while in price over two decades. So that wasn't going to last. And now that the price increases have occurred, there might be more in the future. So basically what I'm saying is it's not going to go down anytime soon. If you think, maybe I'll just eat my margin for a couple months and things will be better, I don't think that's the case. I've talked to enough distributors and suppliers who feel that, they have to raise their prices just because they're going to need to survive because the prices will increase in the future. So I would say, probably pass those costs along, but do it, figure out what works for you, I would say.
Yeah, the bullet points are you're going to have to pass some of it along to stay viable, but in so doing, you have to educate your customers as to why you're doing it, and that open communication is going to, mitigate some of the impact, hopefully, with them.
Okay, well, I hope that helps, Corinne.
Helps a lot. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Stay on line for your Visa gift card. So, got another caller here on line three. It's Marcus. Marcus, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Marcus.
Doing great. What's your question?
So, I'm on the distributor side of the business, and one of our biggest challenges is estimating efficiently and quickly for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
We're managing, obviously we've got one partner that we use for the screen printing embroidery side of it, and one of multiple vendors for the product itself. But it's, the matrix involved from screen print to flash and all that makes up that quote. It's just a cumbersome process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you guys know of any or can even share any good solutions or possible software that's out there that can help us with that challenge so we can get stuff quicker to our clients.
I would say there is software that out there. I don't know particularly what's being used, but I definitely know that there is software available. You could, if you're also struggling to estimate that financially, you could always, call on a consultant to sort of provide a broader, look into your finances and how to do that. So I think there are definitely tools out there. Unfortunately, I can't give you a specific name, but
sure.
I think if you research enough, I think you'll be able to find things. Chris, for Stitches, if you guys are looking at software, is that on decoration or is that something different?
There's it's more decoration focused. I don't know if this would exactly apply in your case, Marcus, but I know that there's a cloud based offering from Wilcom that offers some back end management tools that might be helpful. You could look into that. It's called a Deco Network. It's more geared toward the decorating end of the business, but it does provide some fantastic back end management tools that could help you with some of those issues.
I'm sorry, what was that name again?
Deco Network. And it's from Wilcom. Again, I'm not sure if it would apply exactly to your situation, but it's at least a place to start, if nothing else.
Sure. Okay.
Cool. So I hope you're helpful. Thanks for calling in, Marcus, and be sure to stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, now we're going to pause right now for a commercial from today's sponsor, I Promote You. And when we return, Carrie's going to talk about ways to build customer loyalty.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 1-800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com. That's opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
All right, well, welcome back, Carrie. I think we're going to talk a little bit about customer loyalty, and I think that's probably an important topic this day and time. That with customers probably fickle searching for price. So how can companies improve their customer loyalty?
Right, exactly. I mean, today more than ever with the economy, customers are shopping around. And one of the ways you can keep them at your distributorship is through offering improved customer service. That's one of the easiest ways to build customer loyalty. And some quick bullet points on ideas on how to do that are make sure that you're quick in responding to all your customers. With the age of Twitter and everything else today, customers have higher expectations than ever before for a speedy response. You don't want to leave someone holding for, you know, if you can respond within an hour or two on Twitter, that's better than 2 or 3 days. Don't let it go 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. Another tip is to make sure that a human being always answers your telephone. You don't want to send somebody into voicemail hell on inboxes and, you know, pick 3 for this and 5 for that. Let them talk to a human. That's one of the quickest ways that you can show them.
I think that's huge.
Yeah, you can show that you care about their business.
My bank, I mean, you know, it was Commerce Bank, now TD Bank. That's the biggest thing when I call them. Somebody, you know, answers like right away. So, and it's not like a automated menu system. So that, I mean, that's probably the main reason I end up banking with them, to be honest with you. So
I agree.
If distributors can do that, for definitely. What, any other points in there?
Another one to keep in mind is that people remember first impressions and last impressions pretty much more than everything that happens in the middle of the transaction. So right from the beginning, you want to treat your customer right off the bat, and also finish up with a positive feeling. This could translate into maybe throwing in a free T-shirt or a free accessory promotional product along with their order, something like that, to just leave them with a smile on their face when they're done dealing with you. Except they won't be done dealing with you because they'll keep coming back.
Exactly. Well, cool. Great. Well, thank you for those tips. And
sure.
We got actually a Facebook question about apparel challenges, and this is from Tracy Palmer Hernandez, and she says, "Lately, I've been running into out of stock issue a lot in the apparel industry. It's so frustrating to get the samples in, have the customer work out all the sizing and colors, finally get the order in, and then find out that over half your order is out of stock and won't be in for 4 to 6 weeks." So, I mean, inventory levels, I think, have been a concern. In fact, last year it was a major concern, I think, from suppliers that, you know, they sort of were conservative in estimating the demand. And then when demand came back strong, they were sort of caught a little short. And so I heard from a lot of distributors and suppliers about the inventory issues. I think it's been better this year. I think, you know, suppliers I've talked to definitely better inventory levels. That being said, though, I mean, if you're running into out of stock issues, you got to think about what are you buying? Are you buying specialty colors, specialty styles, and, you know, limited things? That those are more likely to run out. If you're sticking with the basics in terms of T-shirts or polos and basic colors, I think you have a much better chance of having those in stock. So you have to basically tell your client what are you looking for, and then making sure that those things are in stock. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it also helps to have make sure you have a really strong relationship with your preferred suppliers, where you can communicate with them and openly about what they're going to be able to, what they have in stock and what they'll be able to get for you quickly, because that might help you tailor a pitch to a client a certain way. You might point a client in a direction of apparel that you know you'll be able to service them with pretty quickly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. All right, so Chris, now I think you have a little segment about jerk bosses. So,
yeah, the bad news is
president company excluded.
Right,
so please be gentle.
Taking the fifth, but you know, the bad news is there's apparently a lot of kind of jerk bosses out there, but there are some great ways to deal with them. So let's say you have a boss that's mean or abusive or intimidating. Really, what you want to do in this case is you want to stay professional, bite your tongue, don't raise your voice, make sure you're getting your job done. But also while you're doing that, you want to kind of keep a log of the various incidents that you're running into with this boss, because there may come a point where you want to go to senior management or HR about this person. And another thing to keep in mind is if the abuse is so bad, you might want to report to either authorities or consider leaving the job. Another kind of jerk boss, if you will, that's out there is one who will impose their own obsessive compulsive preferences on you, even though there's no real clear business reason for it. What you want to do with this boss is always have a project plan that will allow you to stick to clearly defined rules, regulations, and operating procedures for the project. So if the boss comes with something arbitrary, you want to say, well, how does that relate to the actual rules that we've established for working on this project? And if it doesn't, then you shouldn't have to do it. Finally, there's another boss out there that might be treating you like a beck and call assistant. They're always throwing something new at you. When you're dealing with this boss, what you want to do is when you have a solo interaction with them, you want to try to get as many to-do tasks from them as possible. So they give you one task, you say, okay, I got that. Is there anything else you need me to do? Can we go over that now? And kind of get as long a list as you can, so it will hopefully minimize intrusion while you're working on longer length projects.
Cool. Great. And then apparently got a caller here on line one. Irv, how you doing, Irv?
Yeah, hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
Thanks.
I'm pretty good. I wanted to make a comment on the customer service comments that were made, mm-hmm. the things that I find to be very important. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree more with the quick response. Mm-hmm. I have had so many customers actually thank me. So it seems to be a trend out there where people do not respond as quickly as they should.
You know, and I think sorry to cut you off there, but I think in the internet age, people want instant response. You know, if they're doing a search engine lookup, they want answers immediately. So I agree with you. Instant response. All the time, if I'm calling somebody or even an email, I want something back quick.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. and it gets you that edge. I have found that if you're first or pretty close to being first, that they'll usually recognize that as being a trend that you will set forward for the rest of the job.
Right.
And also, the first and last impressions, I think that's very important as well, because one thing we cannot do as business owners is fall into a routine where everything is just commonplace to us. A lot of the customers that come through the door are new to the experience, and if you can treat them special, it is very, very important.
Right, especially because when when they come to you, it's generally for a very special event, a conference, a huge a huge promotion at their company, or even just a big family reunion.
Sure.
So to them, it's their main focus.
Absolutely. And then the other thing is making sure that you go over the finer details of the job, because mm-hmm. the thing that I don't like to have are those uh-oh moments when you find out perhaps if you would have just asked one key question, you would have avoided a mistake that could be very costly, and anything that you do from that point on is not going to be viewed as a positive. That's where you've really, have stepped in a little bit of quicksand, and you mm-hmm. can fall awfully quickly
right.
in that regard. So, yes, I believe wholeheartedly in good customer service, and I just thought I would add a couple of things there.
Cool, that's great.
Well, appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you very much for the tip, Irv, and stay on the line. We'll get you a Visa gift card.
Thank you.
Okay, see ya. All right, so I got time there to talk about a little Made in America comeback. So there's a report by the Boston Consulting Group that U.S. exports hit a record $173 billion in March, which is up 15% from a year ago and 37% from 2009. So I think part of this is actually that China's been having some labor issues itself, so a lot of the exports come from China, America's been able to step into the gap. But I think it also sort of undermines that the idea that America doesn't make anything anymore. Mm-hmm. In fact, the report says that U.S. manufacturing output has risen nearly 2.5 times since 1972, which, mm-hmm. I mean, definitely chalked up to, I think, manufacturing efficiency. But mm-hmm. the idea comes in that U.S. doesn't make anything is because the manufacturing employment has fallen nearly 25%. So I think it's a positive trend considering the way the economy's been and people looking for jobs, that they can bring manufacturing jobs here and make more things. I think it's only
so much.
Only helpful.
So much what you read is that manufacturing is actually driving some of the recovery. Mm-hmm. in very significant ways. So that's great news.
Yeah, definitely a positive trend. Mm-hmm. So, got time here. Let's talk a little bit about our favorite things. And Chris, why don't you start off? What's your favorite thing?
All right. Well, I'm a country boy. So I picked a Realtree cap, a Realtree patterned cap from Outdoor Cap Company. Their ASI number is 75420, and these caps are they're growing increasingly popular with anyone who wants to convey any kind of outdoor image. So there's the standard places like your bait and tackle shops that are gonna want these for promotional purposes, but now you have colleges, particularly in the South and the Midwest, that are interested in having their logo on a Realtree patterned cap. Also, trucking companies, automotive centers. These are all places that you can target with these caps, and they're interested in having this look, which seems to continue to grow.
And I've seen your collection of headwear, so very very colorful, diverse collection of headwear. So I'm sure it fits right in.
Yes, it is.
So Carrie, yeah. So what would you choose for today?
I chose a handheld fan. This particular one I like is in the shape of a butterfly, because I was thinking that would be perfect for summer and even into the fall. any outdoor event like a wedding, a baby shower, a bridal shower, anywhere where you want to add a little style and also keep your guests from sweating all over the place, which, you know, can easily happen. It's from Lion Circle, ASI 67620. And what else is really nice is it's on heavy paperboard, and they have over 100 stock shapes. So if you're not into butterflies, you know, whatever your event is going to be, they would definitely have a fan that would meet your needs.
Cool. Sounds neat. And I chose the Scribble Tee from Target Decorated Apparel 90549 ASI number. It's actually, it's a neat concept. That basically, it's like a coloring book on a T-shirt. You know, kids can draw on it, draw on the designs, you know, run it through the wash, and then it comes out clean. And I know, Chris, you have young kids, so usually instead of your kids drawing all over the walls, you know, defacing your furniture, I'm sure a T-shirt would be much appreciated.
Well, they already do those too, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to draw anywhere, so at least get the T-shirt as well. Well, I think we're just about out of time today. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks to today's sponsor, I Promote You. Everybody, have a great week and enjoy the San Diego show.
Have a good week, everyone.
All right.